I next want to invite up Shannon McClintock, who is a PhD candidate in the Department of Biostatistics and Bioinformatics at Emory University in Atlanta, Georgia. During her time at Emory, she has also enjoyed teaching, participating in Emory's Bruley Ulcer Research Group, and working for the American Cancer Society, and working in the Division of Parasitic Diseases at the CDC. She plans to graduate in May of 2012.
Thank you for coming to my talk on estimation of vaccination coverage using a constrained logistic model. First of all, I'd like to start off by saying I have no relationships to disclose. So today I'll be giving you an introduction of vaccination coverage and current methods used to estimate vaccination coverage. Then I'll discuss the new approach that I'm proposing to model vaccination coverage. We'll go over simulation of how well that approach works. We'll do an analysis of a real data set and then go over my conclusions. So vaccination has a dual role. It protects an individual from vaccine-preventable diseases in a community, and it reduces rates of vaccine-preventable diseases in a community. Estimation of coverage is useful for monitoring and evaluation of vaccination programs, determining if the population coverage necessary for disease elimination has been achieved, and assessing the health services available to children in a community. Our motivating data comes from the Demographic and Health Surveys, I'm going to call it DHS. In the demographic and health surveys, mothers provide vaccination information for all children under the age of 5. This can be gathered by two different ways. First of all, an interviewer will first ask if the child has retained their vaccination card. And if they've retained a vaccination card, then on that card will be listed if the child had a specific vaccination and the date that that vaccination took place. If the child's vaccination card is not available at the time of the interview, the surveyor can also ask the mother if they thought their child had been vaccinated for that particular vaccine. And so it can also be indicated by maternal recall. When it's indicated by maternal recall, interviewers do not collect data on what date the mother recalls that vaccination occurred, just whether or not that vaccination took place. Card retention rates in different studies can vary greatly. I've seen reports published that retention rates can vary between 35 up to 90% in surveys. And the 2003 Kenya DHS reports that 60% of children had vaccination cards available. And from this, we want to assess the coverage of the combined diphtheria, pertussis, and tetanus vaccine in the 2003 Kenya DHS, which is recommended at 6, 10, and 14 weeks of age. So for the available methods of vaccination coverage, some people just use simple point estimation of the proportion vaccinated at specific age intervals. For instance, if we just take the group of all 1 to 2 year olds, what proportion of those were vaccinated? But this doesn't provide a flexible framework for additional inference that may be of use. More recently, researchers have begun to use survival analysis to model vaccination coverage. This uses time to vaccination as an outcome, and it considers children unvaccinated at the time of the interview to be rate censored. In survival analysis, we obtain the vaccination coverage by 1 minus the Kaplan-Meier survival function, and you can also use the Cox proportional hazards model to evaluate factors affecting the timeliness of vaccination. But there's limitations to survival analysis for vaccination data. When we're doing survival analysis, we need the date of birth and the date of vaccination of the child. If the date of vaccination is missing, some will impute it. Vaccination was indicated by maternal recall. And then some also only analyze data for which date of vaccination is available, which can severely bias estimates of vaccination coverage by not including those that were vaccinated as indicated by maternal recall. Furthermore, when you use survival analysis, this does not directly model the vaccination coverage. It uses the empirical estimates of the tail end of the inverse Kaplan-Meier curve, which can be unstable. So my goal here is to develop methods that provide accurate estimates of vaccination coverage with reliable inference. And for my approach, I'm going to utilize data on all children who are vaccinated according to either vaccination card or maternal recall. I'm going to use the age at the interview instead of the age of vaccination and whether or not the child was vaccinated as indicated by either vaccination card or maternal recall. And for this, I don't actually need the dates that the vaccination occurred. But there's challenges in this new approach. My outcome now is binary, whether or not the child was vaccinated. And these outcomes are often evaluated through logistic regression or probability regression. And when you draw a probability curve for logistic regression or probability regression, it always goes the model to probability all the way up to 100%. And in this case, we're interested in modeling a probability that falls below 100%. But it's still going to be constrained in the interval between 0 and 1. So we need to estimate a parameter that's constrained between 0 and 1 and enforce that constraint. So here I'm proposing the three-parameter nonlinear logistic growth model. I have two versions of that model, Model 1 and Model 2. In Model 1, phi 1 represents the asymptote of our probability curve, which in this instance would represent the vaccination coverage. Phi 2 is the point inflection of the curve, which would represent the age at which half the vaccinated population has been vaccinated. And phi 3 is the exponential growth rate parameter, or the slope of the curve, which can indicate the rate of vaccination uptake. It characterizes the time interval in which vaccination uptake occurs. The graph on the right-hand side shows a fixed value of phi 1 at 0.7, so we're looking at a vaccination coverage of 70%, and a midpoint of 5, so 5 would be the age at which half your vaccinated population has been vaccinated. And the different lines show different values for the slope. Now, in Model 1, our primary interest is going to lie in the parameter phi 1. And we need to enforce the constraint that phi 1 has to be between 0 and 1 to make sense in this context. So Model 2, we also look at a reparameterized version of Model 1. In this sense, lambda can take on values between negative infinity and infinity, whereas the whole numerator together is still constrained to be between 0 and 1. Now, because of the difficulties in estimating a constrained parameter, I've chosen to look at three methods of estimation. I looked at nonlinear least squares, which does not appropriately take into account the binary nature of our outcome, but parameter estimates still remain consistent as long as Model 1 and Model 2 are correctly specified. I've also looked at maximum likelihood estimation by two different algorithms. Maximum likelihood estimation will appropriately take into account the binary nature of the outcome, but it still doesn't inherently, default algorithms still don't inherently constrain that numerator to be between 0 and 1. So I looked at two different algorithms, the Nelder-Mead algorithm, which is the default algorithm in R for the optimum function, and also the BFGS box-constrained algorithm, which allows you to impose box constraints on your parameter estimate, so I can input that phi 1 has to be between 0 and 1. Lastly, I look at Bayesian estimation, which is nice in this context because I can use the prior distribution on my parameters to inform the posterior distribution of my parameters. If I impose a prior distribution on phi 1 to be between 0 and 1, for example, just uniform 0 and 1, it automatically constrains the posterior distribution of my parameter estimates to be between 0 and 1 as well. So I performed a simulation to see how well models 1 and model 2 work under these three different methods of estimation. The true values for the simulation are phi 1 at set at 0.7, phi 2 is at 5, and phi 3 is at 1.5. I did 500 simulations of sample size 350, where our age at the time of the interview was uniformly distributed between 0.1 and 15. The Bayesian estimation was run with three chains for 5,000 iterations, and the first 1,000 iterations were discarded for burn-in, and convergence was verified by the Gell-Mann and Spruven statistic R hat. Here are the histograms of the results for Model 1. So along the first row, we have the nonlinear least squares estimates. Those middle two rows are the two algorithms for maximum likelihood estimates, and the last row is the Bayesian estimates. I'll just point out real quick that on the distribution of phi 1, the Bayesian estimates look to be a little bit tighter than nonlinear least squares or the maximum likelihood estimates. The distribution of the estimates don't extend quite as far out, though the Bayesian estimates do exhibit slight bias. The solid dark line is the true parameter value, and the dashed line is our average of the simulated data sets. Here are the confidence intervals that correspond to that simulation. And you'll notice that when we perform nonlinear least squares or maximum likelihood estimation, you can achieve confidence intervals that achieve our natural boundaries for this parameter. So we achieve confidence intervals for phi 1 that exceed the value of 1, whereas Bayesian credible sets are constrained to be between 0 and 1. Here's the same information for Model 2. Again, the first column now is lambda, and the second column is phi 1. And again, we're seeing a slightly tighter distribution on phi 1. Distribution parameter estimates for phi 1, whereas we're also seeing a little slight bias in the estimate of phi 1. And here are the same confidence intervals or incredible sets. So notice again, even when we're doing model 2, now even though our confidence intervals and our credible sets are not extending past the value of 1, we still observe some slightly erratic simulations where, for instance, our nonlinear least squares estimates or maximum likelihood estimates are unstable and have really wide confidence intervals, but still our Bayesian credible sets remain more stable. Here's a summary of the simulation results in table form, showing the bias of the parameter estimates, the coverage representing the percent of confidence intervals that contain the true value, and the mean length of the parameters of the confidence intervals or of the credible sets. This table just shows what we've already discussed, that the basically the Model 1 and Model 2 results are relatively similar. Bayesian results exhibit slight bias, and Bayesian results also have slightly lower coverage for phi3 and also slightly longer confidence interval or mean length for confidence interval or credible set compared to the other methods of estimation. So here's what our data look like for the 2003 Kenya Demographic and Health Studies. You'll see that 36% of their data had indicated that vaccination was reported by mother, but vaccination card was not available. So for 36% of our data, we don't actually know the date the vaccination occurred. This slide's a little bit busy, but these are the results from the analysis. The circles represent the point estimate. The lines represent a confidence interval or a credible set. And I have results for Model 1 here and Model 2 here. And the decreasing grayscale lines represent the different methods of estimation. So they're nonlinear least squares, then the maximum likelihood methods of estimation, and then lastly the Bayesian estimates. So here we see for DPT1, that coverage is around 87%. For DPT2, the second in the shot sequence, coverage is around 82%. And for DPT3, coverage is around 70%. So we're seeing coverage decrease as the shot sequence goes on. On this is the phi2 parameter, which represents the median age among the vaccinated population. And the red lines on these represent the targeted age for vaccination. So we're seeing that in all cases, the median age for vaccination is exceeding our targeted age for vaccination. And also, we'll note that all methods of estimation are providing very similar point estimates and confidence intervals or credible sets, with the exception of nonlinear least squares in phi3. So in conclusion, Model 2 appropriately constrains the numerator but may be unstable in certain data configurations. Nonlinear least squares is not robust to all situations. And in statistical literature, there's also discussion on the trade-off between precision and bias. And while we did note that there's slight bias in our Bayesian estimates, we found this framework attractive in its ability to naturally restrict parameter estimates through prior distributions. It's inference that doesn't depend on asymptotic rates of convergence, and the stability in the infrequent but not entirely rare data settings yielding unstable maximum likelihood estimates. So the nonlinear logistic model can be used to estimate an asymptote less than 1 when the outcome of interest is binary. And we use this model to estimate vaccination coverage, which also estimates 2 other meaningful parameters in this context. This model is most applicable to vaccination research in which respondents are unable to estimate the age at the time of vaccination, and it also enables researchers to base inference regarding vaccination coverage on all respondents, regardless of whether or not they retained their vaccination cards, eliminating bias due to analyzing only complete data cases. For future work for this model, we'd like to explore both model-based and design-based approaches to account for survey design and analysis. We'd like to accommodate the effect of other covariates. It's quite simply done. You can put in other covariates into the effect of vaccination coverage or the time to vaccination, median age of vaccination. I'd also like to investigate the effect of study design on parameter estimation, and investigate the sensitivity of the analysis to different starting points for the estimation algorithms and prior distributions for phi. Lastly, I'd like to investigate the behavior of the analysis with regards to the true value of phi. And I'd like to thank the following people, and I have 5 full minutes for questions.
So yeah, we probably have time for 2 questions. what you know now, what would your recommendation be to the World Health Organization approach that they use to come up with these estimates? Because obviously that's an important factor for them.
I like my approach. I think there is a very important component of this is to study the effect of study design on how well this approach works. I mean, if we're only interviewing children less than one, does my approach work as well as some others? Or if we're maybe looking at children on a larger age interval up to five, I think when we're looking at large age intervals up to five, this approach works great. But for instance, before, when I was originally running the simulation, I only ran it out to age of 10 instead of an age of 15, and the parameter estimates were a lot less stable. So the survey design is a huge component and really needs to be investigated thoroughly before I can make stronger recommendations. It was recorded in century month code, so the only age intervals I could recover from this are in months. I couldn't recover weeks.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
So when you do the simulation, I actually just mentioned, for example, your simulation, because this is like non-linear modeling, right?
Mm-hmm.
So on those estimations, simulation will be based on the starting point. How did you do in your simulation on the starting point?
How did I do on them?
Yeah, so just random selection or pick one?
I picked one, but then occasionally I would run into errors in the estimation routine and I'd have to go back and massage it and choose different starting points to get convergence for all the simulations.
So you pick the one, the true one or?
No,
okay.
No. I picked it within the same interval that I would choose for the prior distributions and the Bayesian estimation, whatever would be logical within that interval.
Okay.